your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy mysteries, detectives, sci-fi, pulp heroes, audiobooks, and more, please check out the archives for hundreds of episodes. Please feel free to reach out through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, on Twitter, mysteryfrequency on Instagram. And if you enjoy this podcast, it would be great if you could follow, leave a review, and rate the podcast. That is a great free way to support the show. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now, with all that, please enjoy the show.
Petri Wine brings you The Casebook of Gregory Hood. Tonight, the Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to the story of The Three Silver Pesos, another exciting story from The Casebook of Gregory Hood. And I'd like to invite you to try something that will turn those impatient minutes you spend waiting for dinner to be served into a time you really look forward to. You can do that by pouring yourself a glass of Petri California Sherry. Yes, sir, just sit back and enjoy that Petri Sherry. Good, it's great. Just hold that glass of Petri Sherry to the light and notice the beautiful deep amber color, clear as crystal. Get the aroma of this fine wine. It has all the fragrance of the luscious, sun-ripened grapes from which it's made. But wait till you taste that Petri Sherry. Then I can stop talking because you'll know for yourself how good it is. Oh, and say, if you like your sherry dry, you know, not sweet, Petri makes a delicious dry sherry, Petri Pale Dry. If you don't know which you prefer, the regular sherry or the pale dry, why not try them both? Don't buy one, buy two. But just be sure you always buy Petri. It's Monday evening in San Francisco, and we have a date with Gregory Hood and his friend Sanderson Taylor. Our rendezvous tonight is at Gregory's apartment, high on Knob Hill and overlooking the San Francisco Bay. Let's keep our date, shall we?
Good evening, Mr. Vatel.
Hello, Kwong.
Mr. Hood expecting you. Mr. Taylor, I've already arrived. Please go in, sir.
Thanks, Kwong.
Bartell, how are you?
Hello, Sandy.
Glad to see you. Oh, good evening, Harry.
Evening, Gregory. Oh, please don't stop playing. That sounded swell.
Oh, you like it? As this is our first appearance on the radio, I thought I'd whip up a little number in honor of the occasion.
Oh?
Other radio shows have a musical theme. I thought this might be appropriate for ours.
So as well as being the head of Gregory Hood and Company Importers and an amateur detective, you're also a composer, huh?
In a very modest way, Harry.
How about you, Sandy? I know that you're Mr. Hood's attorney as well as his closest friend. Do you have any unusual talent you've been hiding under a bushel?
No, Harry, I'm a very dull dog compared to Gregory. I'm a good family man. I shoot an erratic game of golf, and I wield a writ of habeas corpus with moderate dexterity.
Don't believe a word he says, Harry. Sandy has many hidden talents, a fact that you'll find out as tonight's story gets underway. Would you care for a glass of sherry?
Oh, that'd be very nice, Gregory. Which particular page of the notebook have you decided to turn to for your first story?
A page that has the heading, The Case of the Three Silver Pesos.
We thought it was an adventure that would show you, Harry, that Gregory and I really don't go looking for trouble, though we do have an uncanny facility for meeting up with it.
And how did the three silver pesos catch up with you?
Well, it was about 6 o'clock one evening a few weeks ago that Sandy and I started our drive across the Bay Bridge, bound for Sandy's home in the Berkeley Hills. Little did we think that what promised to be an evening of pleasant domesticity was destined to turn into as wild and woolly an adventure as we had ever.
Bridge is beautiful in this line, isn't it, Gregory?
Stunning. Just the same, I miss the ferry boat.
Well, if you made the trip across as often as I do, you wouldn't. The bridge is not half an hour off the trip.
Even so, I...
Hey, look at that car. Why doesn't he stay in his own lane?
He's an oozer. They drive me crazy.
What's an oozer?
Plenty of them on the roads. When they change lanes, they never give a signal. They just ooze.
What the devil is... Watch out, Gregory. He's weaving from side to side.
Now he's pulling in toward the rail. He's going to stop.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to stop on the bridge.
He must be ill. I'm going to pull up behind him.
Now look, he's opened the car door. He's staggering toward the parapet.
This looks like a suicide attempt.
Come on, Sandy. Get away from that parapet!
Yes, that's too high a jump for you, my friend. Sandy, help me hold him.
Right. There. Say, who are you?
Gun. Gun.
Yes, a gun would be simpler. Come on, get in our car. We'll see you home.
Gregory, I believe he's dead.
Get into the car. Poor devil, I suppose his heart gave him his wish. And get into a doctor fast. We may be wrong. Oh, here comes a cop.
Hey! You can't stop on the bridge. Just a moment.
We've got to get this man to a doctor, officer. He's seriously ill.
What about his car?
You get his car cleared off the bridge, officer. We'll call back when we get to the Oakland side and make our report.
Okay, get moving.
He is dead, Gregory. I'm sure of it.
Did you find any identification on him?
According to his wallet, his name is Harrison Travers. And he's from Los Angeles.
Anything in his pocket?
A package of Chesterfield's, room key from the Hotel Barton.
Oh, that's one of those flea dumps on Church Street. Huh. What else?
Three silver pills.
What is it?
A small glass vial. It's empty. Gregory.
Hmm?
Smell it.
Good Lord, cyanide.
Do you suppose he swallowed it as he stepped out of the car?
Could be. As soon as we get across the bridge, we'll stop at the nearest doctor's and find out.
Story, Dr. Arnold.
What explanation can you give, Doctor?
This is a fantastic case, gentlemen. You see that the man talked of a gun, carried an empty cyanide vial, tried to jump off the bridge, and apparently died of heart failure.
That's right, Doctor.
All very interesting, my friend. But this body happens to have been stabbed.
Stabbed?
What?
He died from a sharp instrument piercing the chest near the heart. This gentleman is murdered.
Back we head for the bridge to San Francisco with a corpse as a passenger. Just at the time we should be having a martini.
Well, it's the only sensible thing to do, Gregory. The borderline between San Francisco and Alameda County runs right through the center of the bridge. The murder happened on the San Francisco side.
So we hand a nice new corpse over to Lieutenant Magruder of Homicide, who hates me and probably won't believe a word we say.
Well, we can't take any chances, Gregory. We're mixed up in a murder case.
True, true. But Magruder will probably say the guy was stabbed to death in my arms. I'll have a heck of a job proving he wasn't. McGrew did love to put the finger on me.
Now, Gregory, I'm not going to allow you to get mixed up in this any further.
But I am in it, Sandy, up to my chin. I've got to follow through to clear myself.
But Dr. Arnold made that stabbing business perfectly clear, Gregory. A man with such a wound might easily think it a mere scratch. Walk around for an hour before he drops dead. The police surgeon will understand.
I hope so. Did you call Mary?
Yes. I said we'd be back by 7:30.
All right. I suppose you told her we just had to run a corpse back to the city.
Yes.
A wonderfully understanding girl, Mary.
When she knows I'm with you, Gregory, she's prepared for anything.
Oh.
Why are we stopping?
Don't you see the damsel in distress teetering on the curb ahead of us?
Damsel, nothing. Damsels don't come right.
Oh, you must guard against being snobbish, then.
Well, in any case, we've got a corpse in the rear.
Well, you'll say he's a bit under the weather. Hop in, young lady. There's room for three in front.
Walter Raleigh, I was beginning to think you'd never come along. Thanks. I'm Penelope. Penny, for short.
My name's Taylor.
And mine's Hood.
What's wrong with your friend in the back?
Him?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he doesn't feel very well.
Stiff, huh? Oh, well, it's happened before.
Don't you think it's a little dangerous for young girls to hitch rides across the bridge?
Don't worry, Mr. Penny can take care of herself. I had a date at 7:15 and I just missed the train. I didn't want to wait.
Well, I'm sure you didn't have to wait long for a ride.
I didn't, but I'm choosy. Too many lone wolves on wheels.
And when we slowed down, Penny, I suppose the natural honesty of our expressions decided you that you'd be safe with us.
Say, you're pretty smooth. What's your other name, Mr. Hood?
Gregory.
I don't know how safe a girl would be with you, Gregory, but I bet you sure a good time.
I am reputed to have my moments, Penny.
Gregory, don't you think it was Mr. Travers in the back at front?
Oh, my hat!
What happened, Penny?
Oh, it's law. Please stop and let me out. It's brand new.
Oh, that's the trouble with these modern hats. They have no stamina. I'll go back and get it for you.
Now, watch the traffic, Gregory. Don't get out that time.
Oh, don't worry, Sandy. I never commit suicide on Monday.
You climb out this way. I'll get out.
Right, move over a little bit.
There we are.
That'll do. Thank you. I'll be back in a jiffy.
Your friend, Mike. What did he do?
Do?
Hmm?
Why, he's in the importing business.
Oh, sounds so. Oh, look.
Huh? What?
Up there. Isn't that the Honolulu Clipper coming in?
I don't see it.
Goodbye, sucker!
What? Hey! Come back here! Back. Well, I'll be... Sandy, what happened?
Penny stole our car. And our corpse. Sandy, Lieutenant Magruder's never going to believe this one.
Story, Lieutenant Magruder.
And you're expecting me to believe it, I suppose.
What did I tell you, Sandy?
Listen, Mr. Hood, you're in the importing business. I keep my nose out of that kind of stuff. Why do you mix yourself up with a homicide case?
I didn't, Magruder. It mixed itself up with me.
Yeah, don't give me that. You think you're a hotshot detective. You're the smart boy who's always trying to show us up as a bunch of flatfoots. Don't waste my time.
Magruder, the San Francisco police force is one of the finest in the country. Why do you have to spoil the record? What do I have to do to make you realize there's been a murder?
Show me a murdered man.
But we had him. His corpse was in the stolen car.
Sure. And before he was stiff, you thought he was going to jump off the bridge. Then he had a heart attack. Then he was going to shoot himself. Then that he's poisoned himself. And finally, a doctor told you he'd been nice. You had to cap it all off. A blonde babe steals your corpse and your car. Who are you trying to kid?
Well, I admit that it sounds unlikely, but it's true, Magruder.
Prove it.
Well, how about the traffic cop who came up to us on the bridge?
Yes. He drove the dead man's car way ahead of us.
He must have turned in a report.
Must he now? Well, I've checked your records, and there hasn't been a traffic report from the Bay Bridge since 4 o'clock. Now, what do you say, Mr. Hood?
But I'll prove it to you. Come on, Sandy.
Come back on Saturday, Mr. Hood. It's my day off.
You see how much your law-abiding instincts do for us, Sandy? Magruder doesn't believe us.
And see what your chivalrous instincts did for us. Your damsel in distress runs off with your car and the evidence.
Now we've got to follow this thing through to prove to Magruder that we're not nuts. You better call Mary and tell her it'll have to be a midnight snack.
Okay, Gregory, but I don't see where we go from here.
Luckily, I kept these three objects that were in the dead man's pocket. They're the only clues we've got.
A hotel key, an empty vial, and 3 silver pesos.
Yeah. Let's take the key first. Hotel Barton, room 207. All right, Sandy, that's our first port of call.
What ghastly dump, Gregory.
But as you see, service with an alleged smile.
Oh, good evening.
Where from?
I'm so glad. I hope you stay that way.
What do you want?
To see Mr. Harrison Travers.
No Travers here. Never was.
But this key.
207. Good. Glad to have it back. Stolen from us months ago. Thanks. Bye.
Who's living in that room?
I am. Good night.
You know, Gregory, I'm beginning to think that Magruder was right. That this whole business didn't happen after all.
And I'm getting as obstinate as all get out. I didn't believe that hotel clerk, but I couldn't search the room without a police warrant.
And with Magruder in his present frame of mind, that wouldn't be the easiest thing to get. Where are we headed for now?
The shop of my old friend Goldwasser. Along here somewhere.
Well, how can he help us?
He's a coin dealer, the best in San Francisco. I want to ask him about these 3 silver pesos. Ah, here's the shop. Hello, Henry.
Gregory Herdman, dear boy, how good to see you.
This is Mr. Sanderson Taylor.
How do you do?
Goldwasser?
Come, let's go into my room at the back. You can sit down and be comfortable there.
How have you been, Henry?
Fine, Gregory, fine. All the better for seeing you after this long time. So, sit down. It's a very special occasion. Perhaps you will join me in a little glass of port, my friend.
Hey, wonderful idea. Heinrich, we're in something of a jam. I'm hoping you can help us.
So? Oh, we shall see what you can do. Say, Gregory.
Oh,
Mr. Taylor?
Thank you.
Now, Gregory, tell me how I may help you.
Heinrich, I want you to look at these silver pesos.
Ah.
Is there anything odd or rare about them?
Or any way we could trace their ownership?
None. They're common enough coins, don't you? I have many such duplicate coins here. I will check this for weight. I will put one of your coins on the scale, though. And on the other scale, I will put one of my duplicate coins, ones that are not to be genuine, though. And what did you find?
The coin I gave you is much lighter.
It must be counterfeit.
No, I do not think so. Let me look at it through my glass. So, very ingenious.
What is it, Ernest?
This coin uncooled. There's a hollow section inside, though.
There's a white powder inside.
Dope. At last, we know what we're up against. May I use your telephone, Heinrich?
Of course, my friend.
So, we're mixed up with a dope ring, Gregory.
No doubt about it, Vander. Now, perhaps I can make Magruder nibble a little humble pie.
Police headquarters, Homicide, Lieutenant Magruder speaking.
Magruder, this is Gregory Hood.
It is, huh? Where are you?
Goldwasser's coin shop on Market. I've got some news for you, Magruder.
And I've got some for you. We found your car deserted on Turk Street.
With a corpse in it?
Sure.
Good. Then now perhaps you believe the story.
Only it wasn't the corpse you described. It was a nice fresh corpse by the name of Penelope.
Penny? Dead?
Stay where you are, Hood. I'll be right over to arrest you on suspicion of murder.
You'll hear the rest of tonight's story from the casebook of Gregory Hood in just a second. Time for me to mention that the only thing necessary to make a good dinner just perfect is to serve that good dinner with a good Petri dinner wine. With steak or chops or stew, and in fact with any meat or meat dish, you couldn't ask for a better companion than a glass of Petri California Burgundy. Petri Burgundy is a hearty, full-bodied red wine. It's the very last word in wonderful flavor. If you're having fish or chicken for dinner, then you'd love Petri California Sauterne. Petri Sauterne is a delicately flavored, subtle white wine that your whole family will enjoy. Get a bottle of both, Petri Burgundy and Petri Sauterne. It's bound to be good if it's Petri. Well, Sandy, you certainly were in up to your ears that time. I guess you were able to talk yourself out of it.
With Magruder? Well, no, Harry. The more eloquent Gregory became, the more suspicious it seemed to make Magruder. And I couldn't do anything to prevent Magruder booking him on suspicion of murder.
You mean to say you were actually locked up?
Yes, Harry. I landed in the jug with a resounding splash at just about the time a civilized man is warming his cockles with a good brandy. Sandy scurried off to get rid of habeas corpus, but for nearly an hour I found myself in a cell adjoining a certain unhappy character named Joe. Poor Joe. I don't think he knew what to make of me.
I'm Joe. Joe the Tipper.
Hi, Joe.
What's your handle, Mac?
Sam. Sam McGee.
You look slick. You want a Charlie's mob?
No, work on my own.
What'd they send you for, Sam?
The works. Sliced up my mall.
You kidding?
Kidding? You're talking to Sammy the Slicer. Ought to see what I did to Fanny. Cut her in 19 pieces. A surgeon couldn't have done a better job. Not as neat a slicing as I did on Aunt Agatha, though. I can still see her expression as I cut her head off.
Look, I'm just a small-time crap man. They shouldn't ought to put me next to you. Hey, Charlie, send me out of here!
Hey, off it, Joe. I'm going to spring you. I'm going to spring both of us.
I don't want to go nowhere with you. Hey, Charlie!
Pipe down, Joe. I've got a pineapple in my pocket. I'm going to toss it out there in the aisle and blow this coop sky high.
Don't do it. Hey, Charlie, come here. Sam, the flies is going to make the place. Get me away from him, will you? I stand in my constitutional right. A guy's got a right to be locked up nice and quiet.
Pipe down, Joe.
Your attorney's here, Mr. Hood.
Oh. I'm sorry it took so long, Gregory. Come on.
It's a cozy little cell, but I don't want to overstay my welcome.
Oh, so long, Joe.
You search him. The guy's a killer, and he's got a pineapple on him.
Don't bother you, Mr. Hood.
No, no. But he's got the gall down, just imagination.
Did you get the car back, Sandy?
No. Still being held as evidence.
Then we must grab a cab as fast as we can. There's a lot of unfinished business ahead of us.
Where to, Mac?
Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay.
Oh, why Fisherman's Wharf, Gregory?
I just put in a call to Herb Kane of the San Francisco Chronicle. He tells me there's a film company shooting night location there.
How does a film company tie in with our little headache?
It's simple. I'm looking for an actor. Now, what's playing at the Geary Theater? A drawing room comedy.
Yes, and there's a costume musical at the Curran.
Correct. The stage show at the Golden Gate is a dance band and singers, no actors, so that's out. Therefore, a film company. Get it?
Absolutely and unequivocally, no.
Very well, let's work the case out backwards.
Oh, that'll be a great help. Why not sideways?
Maybe my recent incarceration has made me a little stir-crazy. Tell me how you figured the thing out so far, Sandy.
Well, obviously Travers, the man we found on the bridge, was mixed up with a dope gang and was probably killed in some internal quarrel.
And exhibit number two, the late Penelope, where did she fit in?
Oh, I don't think that's a hard one. She was a member of the ring. They stationed her near the entrance to the bridge, knowing that a man of your notorious susceptibilities would be bound to pick her up.
Oh, indeed.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. And then she stole the corpse. The hotel clerk was bribed to deny the murdered man's existence. And later they killed the girl to make things safer. Or maybe she wanted too much of a cut.
Sandy, you're excelling yourself.
Elementary, my dear Gregory. But I still don't see where an actor enters the picture.
But surely you see who the killer is now, don't you?
Well, I've read enough mystery stories to know that it must be the LSP, the least suspected person. You have that LSP tone in your voice, Gregory. But we haven't met any LSPs, unless it's Goldwasser or Dr. Arnold.
Remember, Sandy, the original bridge episode was never reported, nor was Travis' car turned in. Magruder told us that.
So the traffic cop to whom we turned over Travers' car was a phony?
And our killer, probably. He was tailing Travers to make sure he died.
Which he did. But we got away with the corpse.
So he phoned for Penelope across the bay to stop us on the approach to the bridge on the way back. Now, who could, at a moment's notice, outfit himself as a traffic cop for shadowing purposes?
I get it, Gregory. An actor.
Right. An actor having a uniform for such a role.
Here you are, Mac. Fisherman's Wharf.
Fine. Wait here for us, driver. We won't be a minute.
Okay.
Come on, Sandy.
Hey, look at the crowds, Gregory.
Well, it's not surprising. Hollywood's putting on a free outdoor floor show.
You can't come any farther. Sorry.
Oh, who's the director on this picture?
Well, Chester Garland. I'm Bud Denton, second assistant. Can I help you?
I hope so. You have an actor in this production who's playing a traffic cop?
Yeah, funny you should ask that. He's been missing all day, so is his motorcycle. And no answer from his hotel, either.
Do you happen to remember the name of his hotel?
Yeah, Hotel Barton on Turk Street.
And his name?
Gunn. Fred Gunn.
Fred Gunn. Much obliged to you. Come on, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Now, it's clear, Sandy. The dying man's words meant not a weapon, but a name.
What?
Fred Gunn. Let's skip back into our cab and go back to the Hotel Barton and visit with him.
There's no Fred Gunn been living here.
And I tell you that he's still living in 207. Give us a pass key.
Are you cops?
No, but we're sending for them in a few minutes. You might as well keep yourself out of a bad mess.
Here's the pass key. And don't tie me up in anything. I just did what I was told.
And what were you told, my friend?
To say that I was living in 207. I didn't see any harm in that. We don't ask too many questions here.
Is Fred Gunn in his room now?
Yeah, came in an hour ago with some drunken bum that couldn't stand up. They were plastered as hootie owls.
Let's go, Sandy.
Right. Might as well walk up. It's only the second floor.
I suppose if I were in this game professionally, I'd be carrying a gun, Sandy.
I'd feel safer if you were, Gregory. Looks as if we've got a killer cornered in a rat hole. He might shoot before he asks questions, you know.
Sandy. I don't want to be melodramatic, but you've got a wife and two children. I wish you'd go back and wait for me in the lobby.
Nice of you, Gregory, but this is Hood Company business. In any case, I don't want to miss the fun.
You're a remarkably square man, Sandy. There are times when I'm quite fond of you.
Yeah. Here we are. 207. Going to knock?
Uh-uh. Our only chance is to rush him. Hope the door isn't locked. Watch out, Sandy. Gun.
He's asleep on the bed. Take it easy, Gregory. We can tie him with the bedclothes.
He doesn't need bedclothes, Sandy. He needs a shroud. He's dead. Smell this bottle of whiskey. It's been spiked with cyanide.
Great Scott. Gregory, look. There on the floor.
The now familiar corpse of Mr. Travers. How it does get around.
Oh, we're in a serious jam now, Gregory. Knee deep in corpses and not a single suspect left.
We don't need one. I know who murdered Gunn, and oddly enough, he's in the room now.
The killer? Where? In the closet?
Closer than that, Sandy.
Oh, now look, Gregory. If you're going to put the finger on me as the least suspected person, it's going too far. I won't stand for it.
No, Sandy. Mr. Travers lying on the floor is the latest killer.
But you mean the corpse is the murderer?
Sure. Remember the empty cyanide vial? Before Travers was killed himself, he'd poisoned Gunn's whiskey. Gunn figured he'd stay sober until he'd retrieved Travers' corpse.
He brought it back here, started to figure out how he was going to dispose of it.
Exactly. He decided to take a slug of whiskey to help his thinking machinery, and so he died. Murdered by his own victim.
Oh, I see.
And now I have a call to make. Elmwood 6, 4222.
Calling Lieutenant Magruder?
Sure. This is going to be fun. Magruder in homicide, please.
After you're through, Gregory, I'll call Mary. We'll have one of her delicious rabbits, and you'll stay the night.
It's a date. Magruder, this is Gregory Hood. Now, settle back in your chair and make yourself comfortable, because I've got a fairy story to tell you. Once upon a time, a couple of worthy citizens were driving across the Bay Bridge when the car in front of them started to wheeze. You'll never believe this, Magruder, but as...
Well, Gregory, that was a swell story. Very different, too.
Yes, and I might say it almost marked the end of my beautiful friendship with Magruder.
That was quite a twist, Gregory, the murderer being murdered by his victim.
And I'd like to point out a moral... If you'll pardon my pointing.
Oh, go right ahead.
The story proved that you get what you give.
And fortunately, that works for the best, too.
Ah, quite a philosopher, aren't you? Just what you mean.
Well, we all get what we give. Look, when you drop by my house, what do I give you?
A warm welcome.
And?
A good dinner.
And?
A glass of Petri wine.
Right. And when I visit you, I get...
Petri wine.
Right again. And that's because we both know that Petri wine is a good wine. Petri wine has got to be good wine. Look at the long years of skill and experience that goes into its making. Why, the Petri family has been making wine for generations. Wine making is their heritage. A heritage handed on down from father to son, from father to son. And don't forget, ever since the Petri family first went into business, they've watched over that business personally.
Yes, the making of Petri wine is a family affair, and the Petri family has every intention of keeping it just that. So you know that the name Petri on a bottle of wine is more than a trademark. It's the personal assurance of the Petri family that Petri wine is and always will be good wine. Well, Gregory, to what page of your casebook are you turning next Monday?
Next Monday, Harry, I'm going to tell you an odd story that concerns a San Francisco cable car, a rather unusual brunette, and a blood-stained hatchet. I call it the Black Museum. See you next Monday, Harry.
The Casebook of Gregory Hood is written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher. Original music is composed and played by Dean Fossler. Mr. Gail Gordon plays the part of Gregory Hood, and Sanderson Taylor is played by Mr. Bill Johnstone. The Petri Wine Company of San Francisco, California, invites you to tune in again next week, same time, same station. The Casebook of Gregory Hood comes to you from our Hollywood studio. This is Harry Bartell saying goodnight for the Petri family. For a solid hour of exciting mystery dramas, listen every Monday on most of these same stations at 8 o'clock to Michael Shane, followed immediately by The Casebook of Gregory Hood.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, the moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Petri Wine brings you
The Casebook of Gregory Hood.
Tonight, the Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to the story of The Murder of Gregory Hood, another exciting adventure from The Casebook of Gregory Hood. And while you're sitting back listening to our story, how about enjoying a glass of America's favorite wine, port wine? Port is America's favorite wine, and you'll know why when you try your first glass of Petri California Port. Petri Port is a deep, deep red. And when you hold Petri Port up to the light, you can practically see through the glass. That's because Petri Port is so clear, one sure sign of a good wine. But the way Petri Port tastes is what really counts. And I can tell you, it's so delicious, you'll want to sip it slowly, so you won't miss a single drop of that marvelous Petri flavor. And you'll want to serve Petri Port to your friends, too, after dinner or any time they drop in for a visit. And naturally, you can serve Petri Port proudly, because those letters P-E-T-R-I spell the proudest name in the long history of fine wine. Sunday night in San Francisco, and we have a date with Gregory Hook. A little earlier, Gregory phoned me to say that he was working late at his office, so let's join him there, shall we?
Come in. Hello, Harry.
Evening, Gregory.
Sorry to drag you over here, but I really was tied up.
That's all right. I'm quite impressed to see that the head of Gregory Hood Importers has to work late occasionally, just like anyone else.
Oh, yes, Harry. You mustn't think that all my time is spent gallivanting around San Francisco. I'm quite a hard-working man on occasion. This afternoon, for instance, we received a particularly valuable shipment from China. Some exquisite jade pieces. I've been examining and cataloging them myself.
Is this piece on the desk part of the collection?
Yes. Do you want to buy it?
Well, what is it? Looks like just a chunk of jade with a hole through it.
It is, Harry, but it also happens to be an archer's thumb ring. 10 period, 206 B.C.
How much?
In your case, Harry, I'll make a special price. Say, $15,000?
I'm afraid not. I'm a little short this month.
That's a beautiful specimen, Harry. I must show this to Richard Gump. He's got the finest collection in town. You know, it's funny this shipment arrived today.
Why?
Because the story I'm going to tell you tonight concerned a shipment of jade that I received just over a year ago. Only on that occasion, it was phony jade, and it gave me one of the worst headaches I've ever had. In fact, I darn nearly got myself murdered.
Murdered? How?
Well, it's a salutary tale that proves that being an amateur detective is a foolish and dangerous occupation. I suppose the story really began about 6 years ago in Lieutenant Silver's office in Homicide. My old friend was patiently trying to sweat the truth out of a certain gent by the name of Lem Carter, a murderer with what appeared to be a perfect alibi. Come on, Carter, you know we've got you cold.
You ain't got nothing on me, copper.
Why don't you be smart? Plead guilty and take a self-defense rap. Otherwise, it's the gas chamber.
Not to that. I was in Carmel at the time of the murder scene. I'm sticking to it.
Hello, Stan.
Oh, hi, Greg.
Still at it, eh?
Yeah, this is one rat that won't squeal, Greg.
I've got a friend outside, Stan. I'd like you to meet her.
Look, Greg, I've no time for wenches now.
I don't know that I'd call her a wench, Stan. Inflation has set in somewhat. But I think she'll interest you and you, Carter.
I don't know no babes.
Funny, she knows you. Her name's Dodo Waring, and she's prepared to testify that she spent an hour with you in San Francisco on the night of the murder.
Okay, Gregory Hood. I know who you are, and I'll get you for this. I'll get him at the last thing I do.
As a matter of fact, it was the last thing he did, too. But that comes later.
How did you round up the girl, Gregory?
I have my contacts, Harry.
I'll bet. What happened to Carter?
Well, he had a good lawyer and got off with manslaughter. He went off to San Quentin, still swearing I'd pay with my life for putting the finger on him. I never gave him another thought until one night just over a year ago when my friend and attorney, Sanderson Taylor, and I were having drinks at the top of the Mark. I, by an odd coincidence, was waiting there to keep an appointment with an exceedingly beautiful young woman.
Gregory?
Yes, Sanders?
What's her name?
Whose name?
The girl you're waiting for.
I didn't say I was waiting for a girl.
You didn't have to. I know you well enough to recognize the symptoms. The red carnation in your buttonhole and the way you've been eyeing your watch tell their own story.
Hmm.
What's her name?
Sherry Drake.
New conquest?
Mm-mm. This is to be something of a business meeting, Sandy.
And I'm sure you use the word business loosely.
Don't be cynical, Sandy. By the way, much as I love your company, will you beat a snappy retreat when the young lady arrives?
Huh? Afraid of competition, eh? You're aging, Gregory. Don't worry. Soon as I finish this last report, I'll be on my way. In any case, I have a wife and two children waiting for me in Berkeley. Hello, isn't that Lieutenant Silver standing in the entrance there?
Oh, sure it is. Stanley?
Here he comes.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello.
Evening, Mr. Taylor.
Morning, Lieutenant.
Gregory, my boy, you're stuck with a guest tonight.
I know. She's due any moment.
I don't know about it. You're stuck with me for the evening.
Look, Stan, you are a man of irresistible charm. Some of your anecdotes are fascinating, and you play a whiz of a game of chess. Another evening, we'll have a long session together, but right...
I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist, Greg.
What's up, Lieutenant?
Lem Carter got parole today.
Lem Carter?
Hey, that's the man that you put the finger on 5 years ago, Greg. Remember, he threatened you at the time.
I talked to guys who were in store with him, Greg. He's still swearing vengeance.
No need to take that very seriously, is there?
I think there is. We put a tail on him the moment he got turned loose, but he gave us a slip. And I'm sticking with you, Greg, until he turns up. If he's toting a rod, there's a parole violation, and we've got him. But I'm keeping you safe until then.
I appreciate your concern, Stan, but I can look after myself.
It'll be safer to let the lieutenant stick with you, Gregory.
But I've got a date, and freeze the crowd.
Now, don't you worry, Greg. I can be discreet.
Oh, but Stan...
Well, I'm going. I'll leave you guys to fight it out. What's in the package, Lieutenant?
A little present for you, Greg.
What is it? A wigwam for grinding smoke?
No, Greg, it's a lot more practical than that. And it's something we'd better discuss before your young lady shows up.
All right, but that's not all we're going to discuss. You duenna?
Are you sure we're not boring you, Lieutenant Silvers?
Don't worry about me, young lady.
But we do worry about you, Stan. We've been sitting here at the top of the mark for nearly an hour, and all you've done is to drink four gigantic orangeades and look gloomy. Are you quite sure you wouldn't like to take a nice long ride on the cable car and meet us somewhere later?
Yes, Greg, I'm quite sure. Just carry on. Don't mind me.
Do you usually have a chaperone you date girls, Greg?
Not as a rule. It rather cramps my style.
Well, then it's quite a style, too. Gregory?
Yes?
Where did you get my number?
Harry Bartell gave me the idea. By an odd coincidence, he was talking about Sherry the other night, and I thought what a nice name it would be for a girl. So I thumbed through the phone book until I found yours.
Seriously, Gregory, how did you get it?
Oh, excuse me, back in the jiffy.
Don't hurry.
Yes, Stan, take your time.
Now, what do you suppose he saw?
My dear young lady, let's not pry into his personal life. Let's accept the miracle of his disappearance gratefully and get down to business.
Business?
Yes, Sherry. I have a little unfinished business that I think you can help me with.
Oh, this is a new one. Go on, Gregory.
I'm an importer, Sherry. 2 months ago, somebody switched a shipment of jade on me somewhere between Hong Kong and San Francisco.
You mean they substituted phony jade for the real stuff?
Yes, Sherry. I've been doing a little private snooping, and I have a hunch that a gent by the name of Hillary Pearson is at the back of it. I found out that you knew him, and that's why I called you.
Oh, yes, I do know him slightly. But I'm sure you're making a mistake, Gregory. Hillary's a straight shooter. I'd bet on that.
I wouldn't. I found out quite a bit about the gentleman in the past few days. He's just about as straight as a wriggly worm.
Good evening, Sherry.
Hello, Hillary.
Introduce me to your friend, won't you?
Why, yes. Hillary Pearson, this is Gregory Hood.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Hillary Pearson. I was just talking about you.
I thought you might be. That's why I came to your table. I think I know what you're doing, Mr. Hood. You're interested in that shipment of phony jade that slipped by your agent, aren't you?
I'd be a mighty poor businessman if I weren't interested, my friend.
And you somewhere acquired the curious notion that Sherry knows something about it.
Have you ever thought of taking up mind reading?
Funny. Very, very funny, Mr. Hood. But I warn you, you're making a great mistake. I might even say you'd live to regret it, if I thought there was the least likelihood that you'd live at all.
Hillary, what are you talking about?
Keep out of this, Sherry. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Mr. Hood?
Oh, sure, sure. I can recognize a threat just like the next man. Listen, Mr. Pearson, we're being chaperoned by Lieutenant Silvers of Homicide. He'll be back in a moment. Why not sit down and wait for him? He'd love to meet you.
I have no interest in meeting policemen. Don't forget what I said, Mr. Hood.
He certainly had me fooled, Gregory. Why didn't you grab him? He threatened you.
Oh, he's not dangerous by himself. I'll have Silvers put a tail on him. Maybe he'll lead us to the whole gang. Well, Sherry, do you still think he's a straight shooter?
He's a rat. I'll never see him again.
Well, perhaps you can help me nab him, Sherry.
Oh, I'll tell you anything I can, Gregory, but there isn't much. I had a few dates with the guy. Here comes the lieutenant again.
Welcome home, Stan. All is forgiven.
Anything interesting happen in my absence, Greg?
No. Just another death threat.
You're kidding.
I'm not. People are queuing up to kill me. Well, they start a line for anything these days.
Come on, Greg, give.
Well, a rather oleaginous gentleman by the name of Hillary Pearson just came up to our table. In a voice simply dripping with vitriol, he suggested great Scott Sandy's come back. Not that I'm popular tonight. What's wrong, Sandy?
Gregory, I was worried about what the lieutenant told us about Lem Carter, so I drove by your apartment. I didn't get too good a look at the man across the street, but I'm certain it was Carter.
Good, we've got him now. Come on.
How about me?
I'm not letting go of you now, Sherry. Come along and watch the fun.
But, Gregory, you can't bring a girl.
Look, Sandy, whose murder is this, yours or mine? Come on. Come on, everybody. Well, here's the apartment. If there's any shooting, Sherry, drop down in the back seat and keep down.
Don't worry about me, Gregory.
The guy's still there. See him in the doorway?
It's Carter, all right. I'll open the side window a little. I don't want to have to use this rod, but I'll keep it handy. Carter spotted us. He's moving back in the doorway. Now, let's see if I can talk a little sense into him.
Carter, don't be a dope and try to get him.
Down, Jerry.
Okay, Carter, try this one on for size. You got him, Stan. Come on.
He fell down the steps when you winged him.
Gregory, I think he's dead.
Jerry, he should have stayed in the car.
I can't feel his pulse nor his heart either. He is dead.
He can't be. I wasn't aiming to kill.
Here's one of your bullets in his leg.
He must have hit his head as he fell down the steps.
Yes, that's it. His neck's broken. He must have died instantly.
Sherry, darling, you seem remarkably handy with corpses.
I was a nurse's aide, Gregory. I can take it.
And so saying, she fainted. Okay, Sandy, I've got her. Poor kid, the whole thing's been a little too much for her.
It's been a little bit too much for me, too.
She's a brave girl, Greg.
Yes, but this rather spoils the evening, doesn't it? Nothing left to do now but take the lady home and the corpse to the morgue. Stan.
Yes, Greg?
Thanks.
What for?
About Carter. I mean, well, he was gunning for me.
Oh, skip it, Greg.
Come on, let's get moving.
Well, this evening didn't turn out the way I planned it.
Nor for me. I should have been back in Berkeley hours ago.
Well, speaking for myself, I had a swell dinner. Much obliged to you, Greg.
You're very welcome, Stan, and I'm obliged to you, Sandy, for driving me home. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. Good night, Greg.
Good night. Good night, Stan.
Go on, Greg. We'll wait here until we see your lights go on. Might be someone else waiting for you.
Okay. But I think you overestimate my popularity.
So long.
I get my friends into the dandy stand. Len Carter gets the casket and my girlfriend's friends. Sandy's got his family. Who's there? Look, I know you're there. Come out of those shadows. Come on.
No!
Gregory,
Greg, did I get you?
Help me out, will you? Yeah. Thank you. No, I'm okay, though. You see who it was? No. No, they must have escaped by the back stairs. Ooh, thank the Lord you brought me that bulletproof vest, Sam.
Oh, so that was the present you gave Gregory at the mark tonight.
Yes. Lucky thing I didn't take it off after Carter was dead. But even with a steel vest, three bullets in the belly kind of knocked you out.
Hello. Here's a note under your doormat.
Hmm? What does it say, Mr. Taylor?
Let's see. I told you I'd get you if it was the last thing I did. Well, and it's signed Lem Carter.
But Lem's dead. Oh, I get the pattern now. Somebody who wanted to kill me took advantage of Carter's release to frame it on him, not knowing he was dead already.
So it didn't work.
Oh, yes, it did, Sam. I was murdered.
Huh? What bright new trick is this, Gregory?
I was killed, or at least we'll let the would-be murderer think so. It'll lull him.
Good idea, Greg. I'll go ahead with an official investigation.
Fine, Stan. You do that, and I'll comb the underground in my own way. But speaking as a very recent corpse, I think I may say I'm going to enjoy solving my own murder.
You'll hear the rest of Gregory Hood's story in a second, which is all the time I need to tell you about Petri California Muscatel. Have you ever tried Petri Muscatel? I've noticed that it seems to be a particular favorite of the ladies. Perhaps that's because Petri Muscatel has such a beautiful golden color, bright as sunshine. But most likely it's because Petri Muscatel has a flavor that comes right from the heart of plump, luscious muscat grapes. Like Petri Port, Petri Muscatel is just perfect after dinner. As a matter of fact, why not buy a bottle of Petri Port and a bottle of Petri Muscatel? Don't buy one, buy two. But remember, always buy Petri. So, Gregory, how did it feel to be a walking corpse?
Surprisingly pleasant, Harry. In fact, I'd say that a professional zombie probably has quite a gay life.
Did you find out who fired those three shots at you?
Oh, yes, but that comes a little later in the story. At the time, my only suspect was Hillary Pierce. After all, he'd threatened my life a short while before.
True, but... And this is almost heresy, Greg. You know who I suspect?
Who?
The girl, Sherry. And may I say how much I like that name?
You may.
In fact, I'd like to go a little further and say that...
Harry?
Okay, but it seemed to me that if this girl was mixed up with the Jade Gang...
But, Harry, don't you see? Because she was with us when Len Carter was killed, she was the only person who knew positively that she couldn't hope to frame a later killing on him.
I guess so. Well, Greg, what did you do next? Well,
as I say, Harry, Pearson was my only suspect, and I had a hunch it wasn't he. First, it wasn't his style, and second, the time element seemed to rule him out. But fortunately, I have some interesting contacts with the underworld, and I knew where to look for further suspects. While Sandy Taylor waited in my apartment, I spent a profitable half hour with some crepe hair and a bottle of spirit gum, giving myself what I thought to be quite a convincing beard.
As an official corpse, I guess you had to disguise yourself. And then?
Sandy and I drove over to a little hideaway on Market Street, a bar known as the Scarlet Dolphin. It has the most persistent jukebox. Oh, poor old Sandy. He was so patient with me that night.
I just called Mary.
Well, Sandy, did you explain your absence satisfactorily?
Yes, Mary's wonderfully understanding. Just the same, I can almost see that patient, knowing smile of hers when I tell her I'm going to a bar with you, strictly on business.
Mary is a very remarkable girl.
Incidentally, now that we're here, just what are we doing in the Scarlet Dolphin?
Waiting to talk to Ole O'Leary.
Ole O'Leary? An expert on yodeling, no doubt.
Can he help it if he had an Irish father and a Swedish mother?
What's his specialty?
He's the Winchell of the underworld. Oh, Sandy, this crepe hair is driving me crazy.
If you must go around being a corpse, Gregory, at least you deserve to be uncomfortable.
Here comes Ole now.
What'll it be, Mac?
We don't want to drink, Ole, just information.
Gregory, what are you doing with that chin muff?
Being a corpse. Ole, can you use a fin?
Are you kidding? Come to daddy. Thanks, Greg. What do you want to know?
Did you know Len Carter was out of hock?
Sure. Got out this morning.
You know his contact?
Just one, though, Greg. A dame.
Name and address, Ole.
Ruby Hart. Devonshire Apartments on Kirk.
Thanks, Ole. So long.
Okay. Thanks for the pin. Good luck, Greg.
When Ruby comes through the door, Sandy, remember that you're playing this scene.
Oh, don't worry, Gregory. I'm not simple-minded. A child of three can...
Yeah?
Miss Ruby Hart?
Yeah.
May we come in?
Who are you?
I'm Mr. Gregory Hood's lawyer, and this is my secretary, Mr. Bunker.
Gregory Hood's lawyer, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Come in. Well, what's on your mind?
You may have heard that Lem Carter was killed this evening.
No, I didn't. My mascara's all run because I was reading a sad book. Now listen, brother. If you come here to gloat, I'm liable to crown you.
Oh, but I haven't. Mr. Hood feels that he is in part liable for Lem Carter's death.
And he ain't kidding, brother.
He wishes to make some financial contribution. He feels that if Mr. Carter had any close associates or dependents...
Lem had me. That's all. And that's enough. Or it could have been.
You've known him for some time?
I've known him no time. Never heard of him before he went to San Quentin, but I had a brother. He was a buddy of Lem's there. Lem got my letters to Joe, and so he started writing to me, and I wrote back to him, see? That made me come alive all over. That letter writing. So he came out and saw me. Just once. Just today. It was just like his letter. Only with flesh and blood in him. And now he's dead. And I got lawyers crawling around me, asking about financial dependence and stuff. It was just us, see? Men didn't see nobody else before they got him. All our lives, there was going to be nobody but us. And now we're to get those Sam Hill out of here. I want to go on reading that sad book.
Please believe me, Miss Hart, when I say that Mr. Hood...
Scram, both of you. Go on, brother, get moving.
I'm sorry if you think...
Yeah, break your heart, don't it? Good night. Len's sorry that he missed you.
Sorry that was your job, Sandy.
Yeah, me too. Poor girl, I'm sorry for her.
So am I, Sandy. I feel like a rather elderly, near-white slug. About those financial contributions, as Ruby would say, I ain't kidding, brother. Anybody that can find good in Lem Carter deserves all I can do. But this was a dead end, no clues there.
What's the next move, Gregory?
The Jade Trail and a girl named Cherry. It's only 11:30, not too late to call.
Why not remove the beard?
No, Sandy, no. She's a brave girl. Let's see how she faces up to Midnight Shadow. Incidentally, I'll play the next scene alone, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. I'll wait for you in your apartment. Too late to drive back to Berkeley tonight, anyway.
If your wife only knew a smart attorney, she could cite me as good grounds for divorce. Okay, Sandy, wait for me back at the apartment. I have a feeling that the next scene won't take very long.
Gregory, I'm so glad you came back to see me tonight. Just the same when you walked in wearing that ridiculous beard, I...
You down near fainted again, Sherry?
I should have. Might have been smart, too. I understand that men like a ladylike swoon.
Not to the extent of complete unconsciousness, Sherry. How are you feeling now?
Fine, Gregory.
Nice place you have here, Sherry.
It's a modest little shack, but I like it. Gregory.
Yes?
You look worried.
Quite frankly, I am.
What's wrong?
After I left you tonight, somebody tried to ventilate me with bullets.
Gregory, no.
Oh, yes, they did. Fortunately, I was wearing a tin vest. Otherwise, I'd be in the morgue now.
Where did it happen?
I was entering my apartment.
Could you see who it was?
No, it was too dark. Sherry.
Yes, Greg.
I've got a list of questions a yard long for you, but before I ask them, I want to do a little checking. Do you mind if I use your phone?
Of course not. Go ahead.
You see, officially, I'm supposed to be a corpse.
Well, I wish you'd stop being one. I don't like bearded men.
Well, I may be able to take it off as soon as I've made this call. Lieutenant Silver's in homicide, please.
Just a minute.
All right. Did Hillary Pearson call you this evening, Sherry?
Hillary? Hmm. No one's called.
Silver speaking.
Excuse me. This is Gregory.
Hi, Greg. Did you dig up any leads?
No, Stan. How about you?
Nothing yet. Oh, yes, one thing you might want to know about that note we found on your doorstep.
The one from Carter, yes?
We've had no chance to authenticate the handwriting yet, but lousy with Carter's fingerprints.
What's that?
I say the note was lousy with Carter's fingerprints. Does that suggest anything to you?
Yes. Yes, it does. It gives me the answer. Thanks, Sam.
Learn anything, Gregory?
Yes, I did, Sherry. Maybe everything.
Well, before you tell me about it, come over here on the sofa. I want to show you my pet view. Moonlight on the bay. We don't need a light, do we? Oh, isn't it beautiful, Gregory?
So are you, Sherry.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're very beautiful. And you wore gloves this evening, didn't you?
Oh, don't talk so much. Gregory.
Yes?
Maybe I could learn to like beer.
Why, you little devil!
You got this coming in your lap!
A knife! There's only one answer to that, darling.
That wasn't a very gentlemanly action, Gregory.
I know, Sandy, but my old father used to say, never strike a woman until she pulls a knife on you.
Shouldn't that be unless?
My old father always said until. Maybe that's why I'm still a bachelor.
Did you have much of a job getting her over to the station?
No, she was out cold until Silver's got there. Then she screamed bloody murder and fought like a wildcat.
Quite a female. Did she spill anything?
Plenty. Hillary Pearson was at the back of it. Silver's is picking him up tonight, and in the morning I'll prefer charges. And with Sherry on the spot, I don't think it's going to be hard to track down our Jay.
She was a smart girl to realize you'd guessed her secret the moment you'd talked to Silver.
Well, she must have heard him talking about the fingerprints, but it was smart figuring on her part.
And on yours too, Gregory.
You see, the fingerprints proved the note was genuinely from Carter.
He planned to leave it by your body after he'd shot you, I suppose.
Instead of which, he was shot first. Therefore, the note was stolen from his body. Only Sherry could have done that while she was performing her nurse's aid act with the corpse. The fact that she was wearing gloves kept her fingerprints off the note.
She was a smart one.
Darn smart, because she appeared to be the one person who couldn't have framed the dead Carter. She thought the frame-up attempt would clear her completely. The double switcheroo. Very neat, and I nearly fell for it.
It was quick thinking on your part to piece it all together as soon as you had the phone message.
I almost wish I hadn't pieced it together quite so fast, Sandy.
Why, Gregory?
Oh, the man asked why. Sherry was a very beautiful girl, Sandy. And the moonlight was quite potent. Sometime I must tell you what my old father used to say about that.
Well, Greg, as usual, that story was a knockout. You're the most popular corpse I've met in ages.
Yes, Harry, it seems that everybody's just dying to kill me.
Oh, and that girl, Sherry. Huh?
You know, Harry, there's one woman who almost got me for life.
You're not kidding.
Tell me, Harry, if she'd succeeded, would you miss me?
Greg, how can you talk like that?
Would you really miss our little Monday evening get-together?
Why, sure. I feel a little silly talking about Pepsi wine and myself.
Oh, I should have known it. One-track mind Bartell. But I guess you're right.
Good detectives are a dime a dozen, but good wine.
Ah. And when you say good wine, naturally you mean Petri wine. Why, the Petri family has been making wine for generations. The art of turning luscious, sun-ripened grapes into delicious, fragrant wine is their heritage. A heritage handed on down within the Petri family from father to son, from father to son. No wonder Petri wine is so good. No wonder the Petri business has grown and grown so that today the Petri family are America's largest independent winemakers. Yes, the making of Petri wine is a family affair, and the Petri family has every intention of keeping it that way, because by so doing, they can be sure that every bottle of wine that bears the name Petri is and always will be good wine. Well, Gregory, what page of your notebook are you turning to next week?
Next week, Harry, I'm going to tell you an odd story that took place in an extremely dense fog in the Berkeley Hills. It concerns a disappearing wife, a haunted house, and a hot clarinet player. I'll see you next Monday, Harry.
The Casebook of Gregory Hood is written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher. Original music is composed and played by Dean Fossler. Gail Gordon plays the part of Gregory Hood, and Sanderson Taylor is played by Art Gilmore. The Petri Wine Company of San Francisco, California, invites you to tune in again next week. Same time, same station. The Casebook of Gregory Hood comes to you from our Hollywood studio. This is Harry Bartell saying goodnight for the Petri family.